Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Well, we don't have a holiday to celebrate.
No.
But Tara's back from seminary, so yay! Praise the Lord.
My brain. Oh, my brain. Help my brain.
Poor Tara and her brain. Lord, I mean,
Go ahead, pray.
Lord, I just thank you for Tara, and I thank you for this study. Tell it well, and I thank you that those that are wanting to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that it's just a prayer away. And it's just amazing to be in and to see the movement of God in the book of Acts.
It
and
is
we have
amazing.
Been seeing the authority being tested by man
mm-hmm.
and by pride and by fear. And same as today, the name of Jesus can cause such a ruckus.
It does. It is such a blessing to speak his name,
Yeshua.
Isn't it? Yeshua. Yeah. Yeshua HaMashiach.
I'm Sabrina. Almost there.
Sabrina's. And I are having name. Fun. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for your name. You know, the movement of God does crazy things to the enemy of God. Mm. Peter and John have, by Jesus' name, blessed a beggar, and he has been healed. And the enemy of God comes in and commands them to stop teaching and speaking in this name. They actually threaten them. What we're going to find is that it began with a threat, and in the weeks that are going to follow, we're going to find that they'll end up acting on it. The crazy thing about violence increases. And from this point forward, when we start moving forward into Acts 5 and on, we're going to find that they went from commanding them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. They're going to threaten them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they're going to end up whipping them, telling them not to. It's going to increase. We're going to see that they build with each time what they do to the apostles because of their proclamation of the name of God. And what I have found is that the evil men said, "What are we going to do with these men?" The religious leaders are like, "What are we going to do with these men?" That's their question. And when the enemy of God cannot silence us, the enemy of God will do anything to silence us. I mean, anything. We have a responsibility, according to the book of James, to do anything we can to make the enemy flee from us. Mm-hmm. And how do we get the enemy to flee?
Well, it says, resist, stand firm and I'm trying to think.
Resist the devil.
With,
yeah.
And he will flee from you.
That's exactly
draw
it.
Near to God and he'll draw near to you.
That's exactly it. That when we stand firm against the evil one and we resist him, he will flee.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when we leave the open door that he won't. If we draw near to God, we have that promise. He will draw near to us.
And the enemy can't be in the presence of God.
No. And that's huge. That's a huge lesson right there in of itself. Just if we sat there for months and months and months, I don't think we would need to go anywhere else because the drawing near to God, practicing the presence of being with the Father.
Yes. And I'm just a quick side note. I just found this praise site and it's 24-hour prayer and worship on my computer. And I just have it all in my house and it ushers in such a difference in my house than when I don't have it on.
That's awesome. What's it called?
It's called IHOP.
IHOP.
Mm-hmm. And it's not the House of Pancakes. It's
the International House of Prayer.
Internationalhouseofprayer.org. And you can go and it's free. And you can, it's 24-hour prayer and worship.
That's wonderful.
So it's a free, I mean, if you have a computer, obviously it's not free if you don't have one. But if you do have that access, you can usher in the Spirit at all times.
Is that the one that's based out of Kansas?
It's out of Kansas City, yes.
Yep, that's awesome. I hear that they also have an incredible prayer facility that if you go.
I have been there, and it is an amazing prayer facility.
That's
but it's
awesome.
Just neat because I can't always go to Kansas City to have it in your living room, kitchen.
That's good. And I know LifeGate, they used to. I don't know if they still do. They had a prayer room set up that was an experiential prayer room that you could go into as well.
Mm.
That was amazing. But I don't know if they still have that or not. Peter, when he looks at them and the enemy begins to do their thing, the enemy cannot deny the hand of God at work. They say, "We cannot deny what is happening." And the enemy never can. I mean, you think of when Jesus is walking in and the pigs, that he casts the demons into the pigs, they know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is obedience. And remember, obedience is the first act that shows that we have honored and revered God. It's the obedience, the service, and then, oh, I just went blank. Do you remember, Sabrina?
Oh, yeah.
Deuteronomy 13.
Yeah, obedience, service.
Look it up. We got to get it. It's obedience and then service and then, I can't believe I forgot that. Well, anyhow, the enemy of God cannot deny it. And when he cannot deny it, it's like verse 4.
I have it. Okay. It says, it is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands, obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him.
Thank you. Hold fast. Stand firm. Okay. There we needed it. We needed that. And how could we forget standing firm?
I remember the obey.
It tells you where we're at. We're still at obedience. God help us.
Help us, Jesus.
The other thing that's going to happen, what we're going to find, is that as we begin to grow in the Lord, we begin to serve the Lord, we begin to do the things of God, what the enemy of God will do is exactly what the religious leaders did to Peter. They commanded in the name that they no longer speak in the name of Jesus. It was a command. Hello, the enemy of God will do anything to keep us from speaking his name. Anything to keep us from speaking his name. Because we're called to proclaim his name, guard his name, guard his word. And so what we have to do is we want to make sure that in every opportunity we have, we bring his name forth. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why the morality, statistical morality that we have in our society that, you know, just says, you know, you just do right because you're supposed to. It gives no authority behind why you shouldn't do what you're doing. But if you give, you know what, you don't have an intimate relationship outside of marriage because it's out of the will of God in his scripture. It adds authority to it. Do you see? And think about people in leadership. They don't go and make decisions without the authority of the name of the person they're doing it for. So they could say, you know, oh, the president told me that we needed to do this. There's authority that comes with the name. So the first thing the enemy of God's going to do is try to get you to stop using the name. To stop the name. Think about removal of prayer in schools. And how we, from the 1960s on, we've gone on a downslide. The next thing that they attacked was removing the Ten Commandments. Pulled out seeking him in his name and then pulled out his word. Which is the Ten Commandments, okay? Do you see how it's the attack? What we're called to do is what Peter talks about in Acts 19 through 22. We have to persevere. It's that standing firm. I can't believe I forgot that on this particular lesson. This is where, when it gets tough, your Christianity is proven. This is where this proves that I am the one that is growing. Not just somebody who has salvation, but somebody who is in the process of allowing sanctification, that process of holiness being made known in me, that the glorification of God can be revealed. Because if I am willing to walk in obedience, you know, after I've come to know the Lord and I am serving in faithfulness, that allows the process of sanctification, the holiness being made known. And as trials and tribulations come, as it is with Peter and them, you keep pressing forward. And as you are pressing forward, that's where Christ is glorified. When we retreat, the glorification doesn't happen. It's the pressing forward in the suffering, the trial, the tribulation, the pain. And being willing to say, I will praise him in this circumstance. I will honor him in this circumstance. I will make his name known in this circumstance. And so a good question we should ask ourselves as something is happening into our life is, how can I glorify the Lord? How can I lift up his name? How can I bring honor? What scripture can I claim? How can I draw near to God through the word of God, praying the word of God in the name of Jesus? Do you see how each of those build into what we're doing? Because Peter and them, what he did is that perseverance began to happen. And James 1, 2 through 4 says that perseverance will finish its work and make us mature and complete. The Amplified translation of this particular passage, it says that when Peter got up to speak, he spoke with, and this phrase, I love this phrase, it says that he spoke with unfettered eloquence. And we've talked about this before, Sabrina. And that word unfettered, it means to be free, freedom to allow God to be the moving agent. Okay? So as we come in to do the radio show, my prayer was is that we would have unfettered eloquence, that though we may have something we're thinking we're going to say, that we allow the movement of God to be what sets the agenda, to allow the movement of God to speak, so that it's not me, it's not man, it's God working. And that's what happened with Peter. Now, when we practice God's presence, Peter and them modeled in their prayer, and that's where I want us to sit the last few minutes that we're going to have. In verses 23 through 31, their prayer had certain qualities to it that I want to recommend, that when we're praying, these are things, I mean, this prayer is the prayer that shook the house. I want the house to shake.
I want the house to shake.
I've never had my house shake, but you know what? I have in my life had times where my prayer be so intimate that my entire body trembled.
Mm.
I have had that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I've had it happen a lot,
right?
But I have had that happen. And the first time that it happened to me, I was just overwhelmed by God's presence. Mm-hmm. It was just the sweetest thing. What they did is they acknowledged the sovereignty of God. They said, when they began to pray, they said, "Sovereign Lord." And depending on the translation, I think some translations say creator, master creator. What is the...
The Message says strong God.
Strong God. Mm-hmm. I love it. Hey, I got to tell you, this is really cool. I don't know if this particular strong is the case, but I was looking up that the Lord is my strength and my shield. That word strength in Hebrew is oz, O-Z. And I thought, I wonder if that's the reason the writer named the Great Wizard of Oz, because it represented strength. I thought that was just kind of a fascinating thing I just discovered this week.
Such a teacher.
I know. It's just so funny. I digress. But anyhow, to join the movement of God, you have to practice his presence. And you do that by acknowledging him. Sovereign Lord, yes. Holy God, Yeshua HaMashiach. You call him Jehovah Shamar, the Lord our keeper. You know, call upon the names of the Lord that you might draw into his presence. They reminded him of who he was in their past as their creator.
Redeemer, deliverer.
Yeah. And so by drawing near to him and proclaiming who he is, I mean, it builds us up in recognizing his presence and his power and his authority. Then the next thing they did is that they reminded God of the Holy Spirit's movement in the past of godly people. And so they talked about King David and the prophecy that God had given him. And what we have to understand is all through the book of Acts, it reveals the fulfillment of God's promises. It is a continuous recognition of God's fulfillment of promises. And he accomplishes. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. He said, "I will make you witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world." Okay? And I think of in Matthew where it says, Jesus told the disciples, because we know that Scripture says Jesus is the light of the world. Well, Scripture, Jesus also said to the disciples, he said, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Because having Christ in us, we are the light.
Mm-hmm.
And they reminded themselves of what God is doing. And they begin to quote Psalm 18. He quotes Psalm 18:39. And how does God prepare us for battle is the question. And he says, "You have clothed me with the strength for the battle." He has given us what we need as far as attire. We need not worry about what we're going to do, what we're going to say, how we're going to respond, what we're going to do, because he has clothed us. He's prepared us. If we are truly drawn near to him, that will be made available to us. And then the question I ask is, how does God respond to the enemy of God? Sabrina, I want you to open up and read for us Psalm 2. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is I want us to read these verses, and I want you to hear how God responds to the enemy of God, because it's a great, great passage. It's Psalm 2, verses 4 through 6. And let's see what it says happens.
Psalm 2, verses 4 through 6. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord.
Okay. God laughs at the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He not only laughs at them, he scoffs at them. You fools.
Yes.
What do you think you're doing? You think you can stop what I am doing?
No.
It's not going to happen.
No. It may seem that.
Exactly.
But, it's not.
But you cannot. You cannot. And he rebukes them and he thwarts their plans.
And gives them his wrath.
That's exactly right. I don't want to be on the side of the wrath of God.
No, I don't either.
And I praise the Lord I'm not.
Me neither.
And hallelujah. You don't. And you can be on his side too by believing in his son. That's all right. It takes. Believing in
Yeshua
the Lord Jesus. Yeshua
HaMashiach.
There you go. And the other thing that I want us to get is that only God can install the king on his holy hill. He's the one that places Christ there. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something any man did. It's God. God ordained for Christ to die. He ordained for him to rise, and he ordained that he will be the king. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is coming back. So when the enemy of God conspires, Peter and them pointed out, the enemy of God's been doing it. He says to them, look, Lord, look what they're doing. It is an okay prayer for us to point out what the enemy is doing towards us. He told them, look, remember Herod? Remember Pilate? They did it. They rejected the Jews, the Gentiles. They rejected you. And he acknowledges not only what happened, but he acknowledges God's power and his will. And he says that he's drawing near to God, that he would recognize his authority and calling upon that authority. And then he makes the request. Now, I want you to see how long it took. I mean, all of those things, he acknowledged the sovereignty of God. He says how God prepares him for battle. He talks about how God responds to the enemy. He tells God what the enemy is doing. Up to this point, he hasn't even told God what his need is. That should tell us something about our prayers. And then at the end, he says, he finally says, consider their threats. Think on God what the enemy is saying and doing. And then he gives his request. Help us to speak boldly. They don't ask to help him for battle. They don't ask for God to give them anything. He asks that they speak boldly. And that's what we call upon you, to call upon God and ask him. Ask him to help you speak boldly. In Jesus' name, God bless.